Good morning, and a welcome again to everyone. This morning, we are looking at the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews through actually chapter 12, verse 2. We don't really know the author of Hebrews, and I did a little study on this early in the week, and of course, many people thought Paul because the themes are so Pauline. And in fact, one of the themes that we'll deal with today is faith. And it really links in with what we talked about last week, talking about hope. And so, the other person, which I thought was interesting and had not heard before that is credited with this, or some people credit to writing this, is Apollos. And I find that very credible. I don't know whether it's true or not, and I don't think we'll know until we get to the other side. But it's interesting. But this morning we're going to look, again, as I said, at faith, as it relates to the hope that we talked about last Sunday. Hope comes from something that is given to us. Faith comes as a gift from God. And as we look at this, we will understand, try to understand that we are not to get hung up in the minutia of the people that are listed here, but rather look to the message of the chapter as a whole. Because many times, and I've done it myself, when going through this chapter, we break it down by the people. All the different people that are mentioned within the book. But that's really not what the writer is doing. What the writer is doing is talking about their faith and bringing us to a point that we can understand that it is faith that saves us, and it is what God has done that brings us our peace and our hope. And because of this, I can bring us greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The final reading that we have, and I would ask you to stand as you are able, is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 12:2. Reading again, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what shall I say? And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women who received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts, in the mountains, and in the dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise God had provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfected. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us set aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Please be seated. Faith, a word we toss around in Christianity all the time. And yet many times we fail to define it. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. And this is really what we understand faith to be. Faith is not the pulpit. It is not something that we can grasp hold of with our hands. Faith is something that we look forward with. And we have hope that in the end of this life, we will receive what we have hoped for through faith. Now, many times, as I said earlier, when we go through the book of Hebrews, we talk about it, about the Faith Hall of Fame. And we like to break it down into all the people and all the things that they did through faith. And that's, while that's a wonderful exercise, because it does bring us that, that's really not the point of the writer. The writer is writing to the Hebrew people. People who were intimately familiar with the details of these people's lives. They knew them. And so in knowing them, they would understand immediately what this was all about. Because they knew the Pentateuch, the first four books of the Old Testament. And so we want to look forward to what the author is talking about. But we still bring mention of all these people and all the things that happened. For by it, people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by word of God, by the word of God, so that what was seen is not made out of things that are visible. The world and all the stuff we see, all the stuff we can touch, we can taste, we can smell, was made by the Word of God. Can I explain that? Can I somehow definitively tell you how that happened? And explain it in terms that would make every person in this world go, yep, he's right, that's the way it is. No. I can't do that. By faith, we receive that promise from God. By faith, we understand that to be true. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And so, Abel offers his gift, and it was accepted because he believed in God. He believed in the promise. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And it's very interesting because this comes down to the question that a lot of times we all have. Well, how do I please God? What do I do to please God? To make Him happy with me? The work of God is this, that you would believe in the one whom He sent. It comes from the Gospel of John. If you want to please God, you believe God and the promise that He has given each and every one of us through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's pleasing God. And that's what this whole chapter is about, is talking about the faith that the people of the Old Testament had in the promises of God that were going to come in the person of Jesus Christ. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whomever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. You see, without faith, we have no ability to draw close to God. And it's a very interesting thing because we all kind of want to try to work this thing up. Well, I got to have more faith. If you believe in God's existence, you have been given faith. And see, this is the hard part because it doesn't take but a minute amount that you believe God and you are justified. We want to make things into what the old into a works thing. And we read through this and we go, see, Enoch did this and Abel did this, and then we come into Noah and he did this. And that is what made them righteous. But actually, they did those things because they believed God. And that's really what this is getting down to. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that comes by faith. His righteousness didn't come because he built the ark. His righteousness came because he believed God. He believed that the floods would come. And that's the thing that is so important, that we understand that it is our faith, our belief in God's promises, our belief in that He is going to do what He said He was going to do. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Didn't matter that Abraham lived in tents. Didn't matter that he and his family lived in tents and wandered around and were sheep herders. What mattered is, at the end, they knew they were going to receive the promise of God. And that's why Abraham is called the father of faith. That's why we are listed as Abraham's heirs. Because we believe by faith in the promises of God. We are the descendants now of Abraham. And Sarah, by her faith, received power to conceive, even when she was past age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Now there's the other thing I think is very interesting in how the author words this. She considered him faithful. And talking about God, because God promised that she would conceive. Now, she did a bunch of other things that weren't so right in her flesh, but she understood God to be faithful. And that's the important part. Do we understand that God is faithful to His promises to us? That indeed He will take care of us. No matter what circumstances we may find ourselves in, no matter what sins we commit, no matter what goes on within our lives, God has promised that He sent His Son to wash away our sin. Do we understand these things? And this is the faith that we have, and by this faith, we understand that God will complete it, no matter what happens. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars in heaven, and as many as innumerable as grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So now you had this group, the patriarchs, as we like to call them in church language, who saw this promise that was given to God immediately following the fall of Adam, that we would be redeemed. And these patriarchs believed God, believed that He was going to continue to do it. Do we indeed cling to this faith that has been given to us? And that's really the calling here. He lists all these people so that we would understand that this is how all people live. It's not by something sure that you can absolutely grasp onto. It's by the faith that we have been given. It's something that is not tangible. As we heard from the beginning of this, you know, that it is the evidence. I'm going to read this verse because otherwise I'll misquote it terribly. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. You see, we can't grasp them, but we can know them to be true. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." And he considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, which figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac evoked the future blessing on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons, each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. The author is now taking us through all the steps that the Israelites had. All, again, those heroes of faith that the Hebrews would absolutely know. He's talking about, he's brought us right up to the point of the enslavement of the Israelites in Egypt. And that yet, even though that was going to happen, there was the promise that they would escape, that they would be delivered from the Israelites. And now we move into Moses. That deliverance, the Exodus. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and were not afraid of the king's edict. And there, parents, by faith, did what was right, knowing it could cost them their lives. They hid their son to the point, and they let him go in the river. And the Pharaoh's daughter, of course, receives him and raises him in the palace. But then we get Moses, who rejects all that. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. It's very interesting how the author places this in. He says that he considered the reproach of Christ being greater than all the treasures of Egypt. Now this seems to kind of come out of left field, but the writer of the Hebrews understands that it is the promise of Christ that is continual throughout the Old Testament and is brought to fruition in the person of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Always within the Old Testament is a look forward to the promised coming of our Lord and Savior. So by faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. And again, we could get into the Passover and the significance it means in Christianity, the understanding that by the sprinkling of it is the sprinkling of blood that saves us. But that's really not the point. The point really comes in chapter 12 of this whole text. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. All these stories we heard, or many of us heard as we grew up in Sunday school. And we kind of get lost in those details. Well, if we would only have been like this, then that would prove our faith. But it is not in the works that cause us to do these things. The writer is bringing these examples of how faith continues to be passed through the believers and the Hebrew people. And then we get to one who shouldn't really be celebrated, especially in a place of heroes of faith. You don't want to talk about this next one. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given friendly welcome to the spies. Here now we're going to talk about a prostitute? How can she be in there? Think about what her career is. This is terrible. But the writer includes her. And in fact, she's included in the lineage. These are the things that we don't really understand. We like to look at the good people. But faith is not combined. Or faith is not... The only place that you find faith is not just within the good people. You find faith given to all people. And this is one of those where we'd like to go, no, you can't do that. You've got to make sure that you leave that out. You can't make that sound. You can put the rest of those guys that are coming up in because they were good. But get rid of that. And see, that's not the point. God didn't come for just those who were holy and righteous in the eyes of the world. He came for all people, no matter what their sin, no matter what place they find themselves in their lives. When you believe in the promises of God and act upon them, you demonstrate your faith. And in the end of this, he comes down and he basically goes, I don't have enough time for this. What shall I say more? And what shall I more say? For the time should fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and of Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained the promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, and escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Well, he goes, I could go on about this all day long, but I'm drawing you to a point. And he goes on to even talk about more. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment, and they were stoned and they were sawn asunder. They were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. All these folks went through all this stuff. They believed the promises of God, and yet they did not receive it in the flesh. They did not receive it in the promise of Jesus Christ. They all died before it. And yet, they were looked upon by God as righteous, because they indeed did believe that. And so, again, we come back to that point. You know, we see all the things that they went through. We sometimes, and I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again because I think it's so important that we understand. Because we are in faith does not mean life is going to be perfect. Does not mean that we for sure are going to be have all roses and everything is going to be wonderful. And in fact, we're going to suffer. Many of us are going to have problems on this side that we don't like. We're going to suffer affliction, death, disease, mocking, and we may even be persecuted for our faith. But that doesn't nullify the promise to what we look forward to. We look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. We look forward to when we too will see that righteousness bodily. When we will have our new life, our new home. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed, we are compassed about with so many a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Because you know of all these things that these faithful people did, the author is instructing us to continue on. Now, most of us individually can look back in our lives and we can see the witnesses who came before us. We can see the acts of faith that they had in their lives who influenced our lives and brought us as a witness to Christ. The witnesses didn't stop with those people in the book of, in chapter 11 of Hebrews. They continue on today. That by faith we too are witnesses. That we let our children and those around us know of our faith. Because we cling to the promises that God has for us. And how do we run this race with patience? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's the thing that we need to understand. It is not us who starts faith. It is not us who goes out and gets it. It is Jesus Christ who writes the story of faith in our lives. And when He starts it, He will finish it. He is writing a book, as you could say, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is who we rely on. It is Him who continues to keep us in faith. And it is Him whom we have faith in. Because Jesus Christ did what we could not do. He went as the sacrifice for the sin of the world, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this is the faith that we have, that we have been given, and we are to cling to, relying on what Jesus Christ did on that cross, shedding His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. It is not something that we can earn. It is not meant so that we look like saints in others' eyes. but that we would endure the race that is set before us. And we would be witnesses of God's promise to those around us. Because we too, if we have faith, are included in chapter 11 of Hebrews. We are just like those men and women mentioned in that chapter. We believe in the promise of God through Jesus Christ, even though we are sinners, and we are saved and are deemed to be righteous, justified, and commended for our faith that was given to us through Jesus Christ our Savior.